This is Darren.
And my name is Ryan.
Hey, Ryan. Welcome to the Snooze Crew.
Why, thanks, Darren. Let's do this.
Let's do it. So, what's going on?
Hey, Darren.
Snooze land.
Well, I was wondering, have you ever shaved your chest?
I've trimmed it.
You have.
I've never like shaved it entirely like bare. That would be too much.
You've never taken that razor and just dragged it across your chest?
Nope. You?
Sure.
Have you like waxed it like down to the skin? Like waxed?
No, I haven't.
So you shaved it all with a razor?
No, I have one of those bodies. What do they call
them? Yeah, okay, like a clippers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you like clipped it all the way down to nothing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. What was that like?
I did it because it was bothering me a little bit. And okay. I just thought, you know what? Let's see what it's like. And okay. I did it. And it was funny because I did it when I was in Hawaii. Not because I was in Hawaii. I just thought, okay, because you know how I get those ideas. You know what I should do? And so I did it.
Yep.
And I came up to the beach, sat down, and my dad was visiting. Mom and dad were there with me just briefly. And he looks at me and goes, are you shaving your body now? And I was just like.
Why is that a bad thing though? Like, why is there a bit of shame attached to that? Like, if I were to have said, yeah, I've shaved my chest, why would that be? I don't know. What's wrong with that? If people want to shave their chest, let them shave their chest.
There's nothing wrong with it. It just struck me funny, especially as it being a public beach, other people within earshot. I was just like, and for dad, I guess he just wasn't around people, guys who did that. So it caught me funny. Like, yes, dad, now I'm shaving my chest. I just did it once. He caught me.
Does this become a regular habit now?
I've done it a few times, but it's
because once you start, it probably gets itchy, I would guess, if you let it grow.
Well, it's funny because when it starts growing back.
Yeah. Yeah.
It pokes straight through my shirt so I can look down and I see little things sticking, little sprouts sticking straight through.
Yeah, I've never shaved it that much. I've done it where I've trimmed it so I didn't have like the little curly hairs coming out the top of my shirt type idea.
But here's the thing is,
like, I'm in the 70s or something.
It grows back to basically the exact same length it was before I shaved it. Now, what tells that little hair follicle to stop pushing out more hair when it's a certain length? Because you'd think it'd be like the hair in your head where it just keep growing and growing and growing. You just have this
hairs all over your body.
Ponytail on your chest, right? You could sure.
Well, same with like your arms or legs or whatever, right?
Yeah.
So what is that?
I was going to ask you because you seem to know everything.
I was kind of hoping you'd research and you're going to tell me something now.
Research. I ask you. I do all this research. I read Wikipedia. I say one word and you're answering the question. I'm like, how did he know that?
I have no idea why some hair stops growing after a little bit of time and some other hair keeps growing. I don't know.
Were you that kid that sat in the living room, TV off, starting at the letter A in the encyclopedias and just reading right through to Z?
No.
You were, weren't you?
No. I just remember stupid random shit. That's all it is. I just remember it because I go, oh, that's interesting. And then I remember it. That's all it is. I don't like research it.
Well, I don't know. Is it our chest bugs that live on our chest that eat the hair? So it keeps it down to a certain length? Because
that's a stupid theory.
See,
you don't actually have any research on this. You brought it up and it has completely no connection here whatsoever.
For entertainment purposes only. You know, Darren, we should do is apply for a government grant. Right? Because if the Canadian government could afford to give the We Foundation how many million? 100 million, 200 million.
I have no idea.
Three trillion. I don't know. It was in the millions. Okay. Give them $100 million. They could give us a little bit of that. Just 1% of that.
Reasonable.
To study why.
So what's the Reed Foundation? I don't even know what that is.
Darren,
are you talking about that charity that Trudeau was involved with? That yes. was kind of crooked.
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't actually know the name of it.
It was the Other We Foundation.
So basically, we have to become friends with people in government first, and then
not Trudeau. He blew his chance. We got to find someone else that they don't suspect, and then they could go through them to give.
Oh,
us...
Oh yeah, I'm sure he'll stop with the corruption now that he's been caught.
No, these two guys.
They'll never
need to
do it again.
They'll think, okay, how do we get our party to be more liked in Alberta, because we're trailing in the polls there.
They don't give a crap.
There's these two hicks that want to study chest hair length growth.
Valid question, I think.
It is.
I don't know why it happens.
There's a lot riding on this discussion, right? Finding out why our chest hairs.
Because I could transplant, hairs that keep growing to my bald spot.
Yeah. If you could take that out, and then you'd never need a haircut, because you could just put your chest hair on your head and it would grow right on your head. It would grow to a certain length and just stay there. You like short hair
and
too.
Just fall
right?
off.
It just no, it would just stay there. It would stay that one length.
Ryan, it's not that I like short hair, it's my only option.
it's better than polish.
No, I leave some hair because it's actually, I used to shave my head entirely and it's too freaking cold. It's cold when you don't have any hair. I used to have to wear a toque all the time. For our American listeners, that's a wool cap.
It's a head sock.
A head sock, yeah.
A knitted
head sock. I would
wear
it indoors because I was cold otherwise. So, yeah.
You should know. Yeah, that
somebody listening maybe knows, and they can, I don't know. I don't even know how they contact us. They can write into us somehow.
Yeah.
On Twitter.
Just transplanting chest
hair. What's our Twitter handle again?
Speaking about fun hair, I have random ones. See, this is how, this is,
I don't
this is
know your random hairs.
Adding into my, that segment called How Ryan Knows He's Getting Older. So there's
right. less reflexes
there. I have this hair on my shoulder. Just one. How did that one hair that's growing out of my shoulder on the top of my shoulder? And it's like an inch and a half long. Why?
And what made it decide to start growing now?
How did that hair fall get so far away from my chest or my head? It's over there.
It is strange. I've had the same experience.
And it's like a dandelion.
I've never had a hair there before in my life. And
it's like a dandelion root. Like when you try to pull a dandelion out of the ground, it just tears off, but it's still growing. The root goes way down. It's like I yank on. It's like it's still there. It's like, this is crazy.
Yeah, those, you can't get rid of those very easily.
Well, and it's like I take care of it, and it's like 2 days later, it's like it's back.
How often are you trimming your chest?
No, this is a different. This is we've left the chest mowing.
Okay.
We're now migrating up my back, up my chest to my shoulder, right?
Okay.
We'll talk about my back hair next.
I don't
right?
want to talk about your back hair.
This is what the podcast is about, Darren. You asked me, what do you want to talk about? And I was like, I'm going to not tell you until we start recording. And here we go.
Okay.
It's a 45-minute podcast about Ryan's body hair.
Well, and people will say to me sometimes, oh, you should grow your beard long. And it's like, I don't know if I'm capable of it. I think it's like other hair on my body. It'll just get it to a certain length and then it stops.
It will just start curling back on itself that tight poodle look.
I've never tried, but I imagine when it gets longer for me, it just gets itchy. So I can't stand it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I tried that.
If I pushed through that for a month or so, then it would probably be.
No.
Okay, but I don't like the look of the gigantic bushy beard anyway.
It's terrible feeling on the neck.
Yeah.
Oh, it's just, I tried years ago, I just shaved my cheeks off and just left the.
Like a goatee type
thing? The goatee, right? A full goatee. And I thought, it's pretty good. I was in my late 20s. I'm like, oh, cool. I can actually grow hair now. Because I think I hit puberty at 19. And so I grew this goatee, and I show up at some gathering, and one of my buddies looks at me and goes, no, you need to take that off.
The moment he saw you, eh?
It was like, no, take it off.
But those were popular back then. Goatees, I mean. That would have been 90s?
I thought so, but the thing. I thought I was hip, but nope. Yeah. I missed out. Whatever it is, something up with this face that didn't work with
it. Didn't work with it. Okay.
Right.
Maybe your friend was just a jerk.
Yeah. I should call him up and say, hey, you remember 20 years ago when you told me no?
Look at me now. Look at my chest hair. Perfectly sculpted.
Oh, speaking about calling up, someone from my childhood just connected with me.
Oh?
Like, haven't seen this person since my mid-teens. Late teens. And I'm not going to say names, but this childhood acquaintance of mine contacted me through Facebook. And you hear about stories about people that do that, right? And it's just like, what is this person want, right?
Is this a bot? Like, what is this? It's like, I have a very interesting video of you. You should see it. It's like, this is
fake. No, I keep all my interesting videos about myself.
Off the cloud.
So,
fully encrypted.
I accept the friend request because I go on Facebook like once every few months. I don't care.
Yeah.
I don't really notice.
I went on a Facebook diet. I barely touch it anymore.
Okay. Well, if you sent me anything, I haven't seen it. Because I just don't go on there hardly ever. So I just happen to look, you know, like there's notifications. There's a couple people that have requested my friend. I'm like, no to that person because I don't care. And the other person's like, oh, haven't seen this person or heard from this person since I was like 17, 18 years old.
Right.
I think it was 18. And so I said yes. And I just sent a message. Wow. It's been a while. Just sent that.
Mm-hmm.
And these texts from this person start coming through right away.
Like, okay, what I have to ask.
And so
male or female?
Female.
Come on.
Lady. Okay. Now, she married one of my buddies.
Okay.
She was 18. He was 20.
Wow. Young.
And she was trying to contact me to apologize for the way she reacted when I told her she didn't have to marry that guy. Because she was 18. I'm thinking, you're 18. We're all idiots when we're 18, right?
Totally.
And so I knew that. So sure. I very politely, I didn't say she was an idiot. I very politely suggested that, because she had been dating him for about 2 years, 16, 17, then engaged, that it might not be the best time to rush into
to get married.
A marriage. So here we are, 46 years old, and she's apologizing for lipping me off after I
really? Did she actually lip me off? Like, what was her reaction?
Well, she remembers. I don't remember. I just remember she disinvited me to her wedding.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I could see how she might take offense to that.
Of course. Well, she you can disinvite me to the reception, but you don't need an invitation to show up to the ceremony. So you showed up anyway. Guess what I did on that Saturday?
You actually went, even though she specifically didn't want you to be there?
I showed up at the wedding, the ceremony. Why? I was 18. We're all idiots when we're 18.
But what was the motivation? Like, I don't understand why you'd want to.
Because I was told I couldn't.
Wow. And so, like, is she still with this guy now?
No. That's why she was calling to apologize. She said you were right.
Was this a recent breakup then?
No. This was a few years back.
Okay. And it just occurred to her now to contact you.
I think it's been bothering her. Because if you get together with someone, you may want to... I didn't even say, he's an idiot. Don't... No, I think it was more along the lines of, you're 18. I think you should wait.
Right.
Right? I think you should wait before jumping into something.
I was married so pretty long. I was 21 when I got married. How old were you? How old were you when you got married?
I was 23.
Okay. So yeah, still pretty young, but 18's like 18. Even between 18 and 21, that's a pretty big growth period, maturity wise.
Maybe she was 19. You know what? That was so long ago. It was either 18 or 19. I just remember she's going to graduate. Yeah. She must've been 18. She's graduate and getting married 2 months later.
Hmm. Yeah, 18, you're still pretty self-absorbed, right? In terms of your awareness of other people. And
23, you're still pretty self-absorbed.
Yeah. I mean, I'm totally self-absorbed now. I was even just telling you that the other day. But at least now I'm aware of it, right?
Right.
You know?
Right.
At that time, that just seems like that was just, of course, that's the way it is, because you don't even think about how other people would think.
Well, and there's a lot that, you know, plays a role in how things go in the relationship, like how were you brought up to mitigate difference of opinions because really our lives here are pretty easy.
Yep.
Right? We've got lots of food.
Yep.
We've got big jackets so we don't freeze to death. Right?
Everything we need.
Everything kind of rotates around the fact of freezing to death or staying warm enough, because it's miserable here. Why do we live here again?
It can be. Well, I mean, there's a lot of good reasons to live here. I mean, it's a safe place to live. You know, it's stable economy, relatively speaking. I mean, obviously the economy is not great right now, but compared to a lot of parts of the world anyway, right?
Right.
You can make a good living here. It's not too expensive to live here.
So you wouldn't trade that in for a nice warm place just because, you know, maybe a few people riot and kill each other off every time there's an election. Big deal. It's warm.
I could see myself, you know, I'm not an American citizen, but if I were, I would happily live in a place like Hawaii for sure. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Even though it's American. I mean, if you go to some of those smaller islands like Kauai, it's actually not that crazy expensive. It's more expensive, but not. It's still cheaper than, say, Vancouver or something like that.
We're used to living here, and it's expensive here. But I'll tell you what: if the Americans were okay with Canadians just moving there permanently, I would totally be living there right now.
Right.
I would have moved there years ago.
You would have moved to Hawaii?
I would have. I'd love to live in Colorado and. Mm. Some places like Utah, some of the places in Utah are amazing.
Like, I really like kind of the desert areas like Nevada and parts of California. Yeah.
I would have tried Arizona. I would have been in Hawaii maybe the whole time. I don't know.
I'm with you. Many places. I love those areas.
But every time we hit minus 30, I'm like, oh,
what are we doing here?
Yep. Why?
It's true.
If your car breaks down, you can die here.
Yes.
Well, not on the freeway going between work and home, but you know, if you're driving out somewhere and no one's around, people freeze to death.
Well, I mean, you could make the same argument for driving out in the desert in Arizona. You could die there too if your car broke down.
Yeah, I guess so. That's why I don't want to live there. I want to live in Hawaii where it's 24 degrees year round.
Yes.
Right? It just takes me about 2 to 3 weeks of laying on top of the bed, sweating it out at night when it's doesn't go below 21 Celsius, just laying there, going, my body just waiting for my body to
acclimatize,
acclimatize to the humidity and the heat.
Right. Well, and to have air conditioning there is, it can be insanely expensive, right? Having that.
You don't use air conditioning there. You just lay on top of your bed.
My point being, if you do feel too warm, you kind of have to suffer there unless you want to pay big bucks to have air conditioning going all the time.
What you can do, my buddy showed me this trick, is you put on socks.
Yeah, you go in the tub. Remember? Yes.
And you soak them. I know, but I'm at that age.
Remember, you said you cramped up, remember?
Yeah, I'm at that age where I repeat stories. Right? Over.
I don't think our listeners want to hear a rerun.
Yeah, but the original listeners, they're not listening anymore. These are all new listeners. All the other ones are like, oh, this is crap. Okay. And then they're gone. So we've had 100% we've probably had about 500% turnover in our listeners, right?
How do you have 500% turnover? How's that possible?
Well, 5 times. 100% of the people have stopped listening to us, and then new ones came
we've
in.
We've had a new audience 5 times.
Five times.
Also, yep. All left.
Yeah. The only people that I think that listen to us still are our original three, Anna, my mom, and Jason.
Carolyn listens too.
She does?
Mm-hmm. She does.
Cool.
Yeah. She didn't and like you making fun of misophonia. She's like, it's a legitimate problem, which it is.
So that was the thing about chewing.
Yes.
So what we'll do is for the next 30 seconds, I'm just going to chew in the microphone. Yeah, do that. She's going to throw her phone at you.
No, but she is legitimately irritated by it. She's even tried things to kind of alleviate it. Like, for example, I bought her these little earbud type things that you put in that reduce certain frequency sounds. They don't actually impede your hearing significantly, but what they do is they cut your ability to hear just in certain frequencies that certain people find particularly irritating. And I don't know. I don't think she felt like it helped too much, but which is too bad because I was kind of hoping that it would be.
Maybe it's not her. It's who she's hearing doing the chewing.
No, because it can be anybody.
Oh, it's not just you?
No, it's not just me. No.
Oh, yep. Man.
So. But yeah, no, I would, if I could, I would live in the States. I know that sounds maybe disloyal as a Canadian, but
why?
I think my ideal would be, you know, when it, say I'm retired, live here in Alberta during the nice months, like from say May, June, July, August, September, October, say half the year ish, and then just take off somewhere warm for the other half. That to me would be an ideal scenario.
I knew a guy who had his winter or his winter home in Edmonton.
Okay.
Because he lived in, I think it was Whitehorse.
Oh, wow. So this was like his tropical escape.
So he would come down here to get away from the cold in the wintertime.
That's awesome.
He was one of the managers at a diamond mine up north. And wow. The HR guy. And I'd see him because I worked at the golf course. And he would come in. And, you know, hey, how's it going? And he would come down on his breaks, right? But he had his second home was in Edmonton.
Huh.
Come down here. And it's not that much warmer here than Yellowknife or Whitehorse.
Not really. Well, you've got an extra month of winter on either end up there, pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right at the beginning and at the end, you've got an additional month of cold weather.
Now, it struck me funny. Oh, he's got his winter home in Edmonton.
That is odd.
Wow.
Yeah. Well, I mean, places like Vancouver, it's expensive, right? Like I was saying, it's actually, it would be cheaper to live in Hawaii half the year than it would be to live in Vancouver.
Yeah. Vancouver's crazy.
Yeah.
Man.
Well, and then if you go out east, like say Toronto or whatever, you get very rainy, kind of damp, kind of cold weather like Vancouver again in the winter, which some people don't like that. They'd rather have sunshine and cold than a little warmer temperatures and rain.
Yeah.
Which one do you prefer? Do you prefer sun and cold or rain and warmer?
Well, when you say warmer, it's got to be a lot warmer because rain at 10,
well, above
5,
freezing.
10,
above 10, freezing.
Well, Vancouver rain at 5 degrees Celsius, that's miserable.
No, it is. That's my point.
That's absolutely miserable.
That's my point.
Hawaii,
like I'm saying, I would Hawaii take rain. Probably nice. Now, and this would surprise Carolyn because I've always said I've preferred the climate in Vancouver to here. But I would take the minus 10 here when it's sunny over the 3-4 degrees there when it's rainy, for sure.
Guaranteed.
But where I struggle with is when we get socked in here for those weeks where it's like minus 20 something. That's where I find that really hard. Oh, you got a phone call? You're such a popular guy.
I am.
You gonna answer it on our recording?
Yeah, I'll answer it for everyone to listen to. It's Revenue Canada. They're going to throw me in prison if I don't give them my MasterCard number over the phone.
This is Revenue Canada. Give your MasterCard now or you will be going to jail.
I was like, that's odd. I get almost no phone calls. That's really crazy.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you were a popular guy. I thought you got phone calls all the time.
No. Just this podcast. This is my connection to the world.
Wow.
This is it.
This is your hello world.
Yeah.
So what else you got for me, Ryan?
Well, you know, looking at, you know, changing careers between where I was and where I'm going. And lots of people go through this, right? Deciding what they need to do. People tell me, or have told me, I should follow my passion. Now, if you talk to the average person and ask them what their passion was and what they do for a living, what percentage of them would say it's the same thing?
Oh, I bet it's a very small percentage.
Okay. So is it realistic for people to be telling me what they can't do themselves?
Well, no, of course not. But we all love to dole out advice when it's not something we ourselves have to do.
Well, I looked at, I've always considered working or not. I've always considered, what do I love to do?
Right. Sure.
But I haven't tried everything. Maybe I like cliff jumping. Now, how would I monetize that?
That could be difficult.
I came up with the idea that maybe if you videoed me doing dumb cliff diving, like highly dangerous cliff dives, we could monetize that. You know, maybe Red Bull will sponsor me. It might just be one cliff dive, though, and then all the proceeds would be given to charity after I landed wrong. Right?
Yeah, I don't know if that's a very feasible concept there, Ryan. Cliff jumping's actually a career possibility you were thinking of?
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, I haven't tried it. So I haven't tried everything. I think I need to go through everything before I make a decision on what my passion is. Right?
So what do you think your passion is, though, as of now, from the things you've experienced?
Well, that's what I was, you know, I was whittling down the ideas of what I could do. And you know what I've discovered is, so for some crazy reason, the government doesn't give out permits for explosives very easily.
Right.
I like blowing stuff up. I love it.
Exploding stuff is fun.
Yeah. Destroying stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I think I would be great at deconstruction. That's the opposite.
So you're talking like, you know, taking
demolition. Oh, yeah, a whole bunch of stuff. Like, you need it gone.
Do you remember that one? I think it was in Las Vegas where they're knocking down a whole old hotel.
Yeah.
And there's people standing there watching it. And then the explosion goes and they're like, oh, wow. And right at that moment, a gigantic tour bus parks right in front of the people filming it. Right. And they're like, oh, no. And they're trying to watch the explosion. Right. They're like, okay, move, move, move. And then the bus moves ahead and all that's left is like a big dust cloud.
Dust. I saw that video. That was great.
That's a great little clip. It's like about a maybe 20 second clip. It's hilarious.
You see, I would like to be the one taking that hotel down.
That would be an interesting job.
Right? Sure. Like, how do you get into that?
But that's got to be like engineers and stuff. You got to have years and years and years of training for that.
You don't need years of education in order to break stuff. I can do
it. You do if you need to break it safely in a way that doesn't fall on people.
Just don't allow spectators, right? That's the problem. They let these spectators in. Now you've got liability. Like, just get rid of the spectators. Put some towels around the outside of the other buildings around it. And, you know, some beach towels.
So towels. Anything,
yeah. And I know how it works. I could do it. And,
all right, everybody, towel down.
Yep.
It's a lot of towels.
Right? And just, you know what? I'll just
this is your passion? Are you serious right now?
Well, I've never done it. And I know the excitement that I get from firecrackers and fireworks. Mm-hmm. I'm like, well, if I put something that makes big bangs into something that can fall down and get destroyed, I think that would get me going.
Hmm.
That would get my heart pumping. And that's what people are telling me. Follow your passion. Do what you love. Like, I would love to do that.
So explain to me, what's the path to legitimately doing that? If you're actually serious, what's the path to becoming a person who does that?
I saw a website. I could order a fake engineering explosives engineer degree on, and then I could show that to the city of Edmonton when they need, you know, when the government needs something removed, like a bridge.
You could have legal problems. You might need to pursue other passions.
That's where you get your online legal degree from, and you can help me out in that matter.
And then I will also go to jail. Sorry, Ryan, you're on your own on this one.
But I just think
free.
I would love to just break stuff, knock stuff down, you know, and maybe I could become the tower guy where, you know, those cellular towers or those radio towers that stick up all over with the lights blinking slowly so planes don't hit them. Mm-hmm. Maybe they need help taking the old ones down.
Do they?
And then I could video that so I get paid to knock them down and paid on YouTube when people have to watch a half hour worth of ads just to watch 5 seconds of tower falling down.
Is that a big thing on YouTube? People watching towers collapsing?
Well, I watch it. So if I like it.
You actually do? Serious right now? You like look on YouTube for collapsing buildings and watch clips of collapsing buildings?
You know, one of the funniest ones that I saw was this dude. I think he was the guy that owned the land. I don't think he was a farmer. He must have bought the land off the farmer because no farmer would be crazy enough to do this. And he took the tractor. He has this like a caterpillar.
Yep.
The track loader. And he's going up against this silo.
Okay.
Now, a silo is a concrete structure, a clay brick structure that goes straight up in the air. It's a circle, a cylinder. And they put, you know, stuff in it to hold it, store it, right? Well, he's going to take this thing down. So he goes and pushes up against it. And the tracks are digging into the ground and he's pushing into it. And then his bucket on this thing goes through the wall. And then the thing just falls over top of him.
Oh,
like
wow,
just the whole silo just collapses over top of him. And he's okay because he's got a lid. He's got a steel cage over him, but he's lucky.
Steel, right?
Like, no farmer would do that. No. But if they did want to take that thing down, they could call me, because I would be the expert, in quotation marks, about that. No one's around. I knock it down for them. And it would be fun. It would be art.
And you die because you don't know what the hell you're doing.
That's an assumption.
Well, but you just told you me that say, this other guy had the whole thing collapse on him.
Everyone, be say, everyone could say, well, what's the goal in life? To die happy, right? He died doing what he loved, right? That's what they say. And every time someone base jumps or jumps out of a plane and doesn't make it, or cliff jumps and doesn't make it, and it's like, well, at least he died doing what he loved. That would be me plugging in the cable into the C4 with a smile on my face. Kaboom.
I don't know, man. I don't know if you've thought this through very carefully.
I've been thinking about it for years.
So I'm curious, how many years of education does that
and,
take?
If you and if you watch, the specials on explosives on Discovery Channel, they talk about how
it's you've watched specials on explosives on Discovery Channel. Well, you're really obsessed with this. Holy, it is your passion.
Yeah. So they have this family that's been doing it for 100 years or whatever. And it's kind of like they've grown through the decades into being the people that do this. And I like, you know, instead of going to school for this, or I could join the military. Oh man, that was another route you know, I could consider.
Become an explosives expert in the military.
But then you're
they'd
in
pay
the
for your training.
That's right. But there's a little bit sort of a commitment level there that I'm not sure if I'm ready for. Right. You can't just get trained in explosives and then leave.
Where you actually have to, like,
thanks for showing me how to throw grenades. I'm out of here. Yeah. Right. Although I would really like to throw a grenade. What I think I need to do is that family that controls the explosives company, right? The ones that run it.
There's a family that does this?
Yeah. Yeah. There's a down. I can't remember if it was in Canada or the States. It's been a few years since I saw the show, but they basically are the company/family that people call to do these demolition.
Oh, really?
Things. Like, maybe, you know, at some point they have someone that I can get to know. Right?
Yeah, you should see if you can connect with them, Ryan. That sounds
hang
like
out
a
with
really
them,
great idea.
Become buds with them. Yeah. You know? Change my last name to be one of them. And then...
Yeah. Get your fake diploma and your fake name. Sounds like you've got this... You've really thought this through. Hey?
Yeah. I think it's my calling.
Oh, wow. Well, now you're getting all spiritual about it, eh?
Calling. Isn't that weird how that one word just changes the whole discussion? It's my, it goes from my passion to my calling.
Mm.
What I've been called. Who called me? My passion.
Mm-hmm.
You know that little guy that sits on your left shoulder?
Uh-huh.
Say,
hey,
yeah.
You should do this.
You know what a great idea would be?
Would be good.
That's my passion side, right?
So what's your calling, Ryan?
He agrees with the passion side.
Okay, well, that's convenient.
Blow stuff up.
I don't know if that's going to work out for you there, buddy. I'm not sure. You might want to aim for something a little more realistic. Realistically, though, what would you do instead on a realistic level?
I think I would start a blog. Because I hear people...
That would be
pay.
Your passion. Like in terms of being something you would love doing.
And... I would tell parents how to raise their children.
So what's stopping you?
Because I have a different perspective. Having never raised a child myself, I could give them great insight into how to raise their kids.
Yeah,
right?
Sounds like a different formula than the usual.
Yeah,
approach.
like things that I know will work, even though I've never tried them myself. Right? Because I've watched
Dr.
Discovery
Ryan.
Channel. I've watched Discovery Channel enough that, you know, there are things like here's something. Here's
Dr.
a money.
Dr. Ryan, child rearing advisor.
Want to save money? here's a big parenting tip. Okay. These parents spend so much money for Christmas and birthdays and other stuff on their kids, right? And up to about the age of five or six, these kids, they don't remember what they got. They've got stuff everywhere, right?
Sure.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Right? Give them the present on their birthday or Christmas. A week later, they don't care, right? 2 weeks later, they don't even remember. So what you do is you take that whatever it is, put it back in the box, and rewrap it for the next celebration.
Nah, I disagree. Kids at that age, by then already, they already recognize stuff.
And so at the age of one, two, three, four.
Not one or two, no. But even by the age of two, if it's like a little stuffed toy or something, they can become very attached to those things.
Okay, but if they do, that's fine.
Like, I remember with my son, he had like this little robot Wall-E. Do you remember the movie Wall-E?
Yes.
He had a little Wall-E robot. He loved that thing. And he was like four.
Right.
Well, maybe he was a little older than that, actually, to be fair. He could have been.
And you know,
now that I think about it, I think he was a little older. But even so, my point being, by the time they're three, four, they can get pretty attached to their toys.
Sure, but not all the toys. See, for me,
right,
I'm 46, and I have this raccoon that I was given when I was born. So I've had that raccoon for literally 46 years.
It's a stuffed toy type thing, you mean?
Yeah, it's a raccoon.
Okay.
It's disgusting, right? I still have my...
Well, it has sentimental value though, right?
I should take it off my bed because it's a little odd having my, I should
you
take it off.
But,
you know, I got attached to it, right? Him and I have been through a lot, right?
Do you have a blankie too?
Darren, you weren't supposed to say that. I told that to you in confidence.
And you never watch
the majority
so it keeps that familiar smell, right?
Smells like my childhood. No, there's how many toys do kids get now in our area?
They do get a lot of toys.
It's like it's raining toys on them.
Yes.
And the kids are like, ah, and when they're one, two, three, the wrapping paper in the box is way more exciting than what's in it, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was a birthday I went to for one of my nieces, and I brought a balloon.
You told me this. This is, again, something that you've already said on the podcast, Ryan.
And it's like, Darren, you need to hear this again because you're not.
You really are getting old, man. How are you not remembering that you've said these things?
It's not about if you repeat the stories. It's about the distance, the time between repeating the stories. I told you these stories like months ago. Once it starts getting in within the same week, you should worry about me.
Okay,
right?
Okay.
I'm like, hey, Darren, remember when, or I'll just say, yeah, so I have my raccoon, my stuffed raccoon, not taxidermy. He's actually like a teddy bear, right? And I tell you that tomorrow, then you can be like, hey, Ryan, I have to tell you something.
You may need to get checked.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's like, well,
so
I have
did you
this
forget
hair
that you told
shoulder.
Me about? Honestly, though, did you forget that you told me about the balloon with the 3-year-old?
Well, at the moment that I was saying relating to my story, yes.
Interesting.
Because it's part of the story about regifting. But now I'm talking about giving gifts that you've already given. It's regifting to the same kid. Save all that money. And then the kid's like, and tears the paper off. And, you know, maybe you can just paint a different color or give it to him for, I don't know. What do you give kids gifts for other than that?
Or just don't be a cheap bastard and let them keep it and play with it.
Well, it depends how many gifts you're giving the kid, right? Like if you get,
I
do you
found
give
it interesting. My own kids are far less materialistic than I am.
Yeah.
I'm way more into buying stuff and having new things and buying fancy things than either of my kids, who are both grown up now. Okay. And they're very much more minimalist compared to me, which, you know, is interesting. I kind of admire it. I can't understand it.
Well, they're planning.
I don't get it.
They're planning for their financial future because you're not going to leave them anything because you're going to spend everything. So they have to learn to live with less.
No, it's just interesting. I found, you know, just them growing up, how they didn't have that like feeling of wanting lots of things, which I'm always like, ooh, I want that new phone, or ooh, I should get an iPad, or ooh, my TV, my 75 inch TV is too small. I need an 85 inch. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't matter what it is. You know, there's always something better, right?
That's another thing. I was going to open another blog up about easy or ideas for, I can't remember what I was going to call it, but how to make stuff better. Right? Say you want your TV to be bigger.
Move your couch closer.
Move your couch closer. It's simple. Well, people pay me for that kind of advice, right?
Well, then why aren't you writing this blog?
Yeah, I'm not sure if I'm that passionate about it yet. I got to figure out if I have more than the couch moving idea, right?
Well, you know, like, you know, this is kind of crossing into another part of my life, but I did blogging for a good year and then I started writing and actually getting paid for it.
Yeah. Yeah. See, you know? I like,
so you
I
could
like
do it. You have to do it. Like, I did it every day for like a good probably hour or so every day until for probably more than a year before I started having people pay me for the writing.
But here's the thing.
So
is
it takes work.
I'm passionate about the part where I'm getting the money. It's all the
not
other
so
stuff that leads up to that, that is not so passionate about, right? It's the pay me and I'll figure out what to do for you for that idea.
Okay, I'm gonna inform you of something, Ryan.
Okay.
It doesn't work that way.
But that's my passion.
You usually have to develop a skill first and get good at something to the point that people go, hey, that's good enough that I'm willing to pay for it.
I'm gonna put out that fundraiser on GoFundMe. It's like GoFundMe. I just put my name up, Ryan, and thank you for giving.
You might have better odds standing at an intersection with a piece of cardboard. You might have a better chance.
It is so cold here. I don't want to do that. If I lived in Hawaii, maybe, you know, just stand there like, this Canadian needs money. Please help. Our exchange rate is terrible.
Plus, I can only stay here for 6 months. Then I have to go back.
Help me get home.
You could move to Whitehorse. It's cheaper.
Huh.
Why don't you just move somewhere really cheap and then just live off the land?
The tundra? The frozen tundra?
Sure.
Eat reindeer?
Well, but I mean, if you're not paying property taxes, if it's just a cheap location where you've just outright bought the property and you just live out there, you can afford the other things like groceries and those kinds of things.
There's no Costco's up there. I'm sorry.
No. You ship it all in.
By dog sled?
By dog sled. Yeah. Could do it.
No, there's so many things that are interesting, but
So fantasy time, okay? Imagine there was no barrier, nothing stopping you. You could do any career you wanted to do in the world. What would you want to do?
Grow my hair long and play like Kenny G.
Play music.
Saxophone.
Play music. Oh, wow. Really? Now you are really into saxophone though. Don't you have like half a dozen saxophones?
Not half a dozen. I have a few.
Five.
I have a few.
Four.
And one bad one.
So is that too much personal information saying that you have a collection of saxophones?
I know. Our listeners will be able to track me down now. Be like, he's got more than one saxophone. And one bad one. Okay, we know exactly who that is.
And a raccoon.
A stuffed raccoon.
That's very valuable to him.
Yeah, you know, music is amazing.
So why don't you do more with music? Like, you know, I'm curious. You don't really dabble with that at all, as far as I know.
Yeah, it's frustrating to not be able to make the the sound that I want to, and not know how to progress past a certain point. So I just kind of shut down.
And, but it's kind of like that blogging thing. I mean, you kind of have to stick to it for a while before it improves.
I played. How long did you blog for? 1 year.
It was about 8 months.
Yeah. I played music for 10 years.
Wow. Okay. And, but did you get to a point where you were playing, like, say, gigs or anything like that?
No. No. Well, I played 4 gigs on a different instrument than what I trained on. I was terrible. And I played with his rock band, and we did 4 concerts. Our first concert, we had 100 people at, and that's we were decent. Playing, we were playing like, INXS type stuff.
Oh, nice.
INXS. And the guys were moshing. They were so desperate to hurt each other. We had like 20, 30 moshing guys in a INXS. Mosh pit. Moshing to INXS in front of us in this little room at one of the local colleges. It was crazy. They the best part of it was they had a fog machine, and they thought it'd be cool for the drummer, which was me, to have it shooting out from underneath my between my legs up at my chest. No, it was right behind me, shooting up my at my back, so it was coming from behind me. And then they had a spotlight, and this was before the days of LED. So this was an incandescent that so was
cooking hot
under my snare drum. So between my legs, okay, like one leg is on either side of the snare drum, right? One on the kick pedal, one on the hi-hat, and it's between my legs. And they thought this would be cool when we turn it on. It was the opposite of cool. It was Death Valley hot.
Hellacious.
And I remember when they called, they said, Ryan, count us in. I can't see anything because I'm in a fog. Like I'm in a smoke machine. Fog. And so I did the 1, 2, 3, 4, and the lights came on, and it was like someone threw a bucket of water on me. I was instantly soaked. It was like the sun was right between shining up between my legs, right on my chest. And I was just, I couldn't do it. I was so hot, and I couldn't say anything. I was just breathing this, whatever that smoke machine stuff
that's
is.
Brutal to inhale.
I couldn't see the band. You know, I just saw hair because they all had long hair. I had short hair. I saw the singer's hair kind of in front of me, and I was losing sticks all over the place. And whoops, I just hit my treadmill. Sorry.
It kind of fit with the drumming.
And I just, it was just, and that was our first concert. We did 3 more, and then that was it for us.
That was the end of it, eh?
That was the end of it. There was no recording deals, record deals, or...
Did you know that I sang for a band when I was a kid?
Really?
Yeah, I did. Actually.
Huh.
Similar experience to you, though. We never had significant gigs of any sort.
No?
No. No. We were just goofing off. And the majority of the time, we just goofed off in our garage and made a racket.
Sure.
Yeah.
Neighbors. Which,
looking back at it, like, my parents, bless them. I mean, to tolerate that noise.
Oh, yeah.
Like, we thought we were awesome, but I've heard some of the recordings. We were not awesome.
You guys actually made recordings?
Bad. We were bad.
Like, you record, we didn't even record ourselves. We were awful.
Oh, this was old school, though, like recording with a tape, you know, tape recorder, you know, but we thought, oh man, we're awesome. And I listened to that later. I haven't listened to it for years, but I remember listening to it later and being like, we thought this was good? Like, what the heck, man? This is awful.
Darren, I'll get a looping machine, a sampler, and I don't even know what they're called, and you can do the voice. We have, there's auto.
I can't sing. That's the
it
point.
It doesn't matter.
That's
it's
the point.
Auto-tune.
I'm not a good singer.
Did Britney Spears, was she an awesome singer? No.
Yes.
They had auto-tune.
She was a good singer. She sang for the Mouseketeers, man.
They had
she was
auto-tune.
A good singer her whole life. She sang for the Mickey Mouse, whatever. What's that show called? Disney.
I don't know. I never saw it.
She was one of their singers. Like, she's been a fantastic singer her whole life.
It was on the 4th channel. I grew up with 3 channels.
Disney was on CBC.
Yeah, I never saw the Mouseketeers. ever.
Mouseketeers. Yeah.
No. Okay, so Britney Spears is a bad example. Everyone else.
They use auto-tune. To get to that level, they're pretty talented people, man.
We'll use auto-tune. And then I want to get one of those head things like dead mouse and like maybe a raccoon head, right? Dead raccoon, right? Put it over my head with the flashing eyes for lights or lights for eyes. And I'll be the band and you just chant whatever it is, one line over and over again. And we'll get paid that way.
You should pursue that, Ryan. Your passion.
I mean, including you in this.
You should look into that, Ryan.
In this windfall. Because I don't know if anyone else has done this. Right? We'll be pioneers in...
I'm pretty sure it's been done quite a bit, actually. Pretty common.
We'll do it a different way. We'll pioneer a new style and then we'll get paid too much money. Right? That sounds like a good passion to have.
Maybe. I don't know. Me, I really am into, in terms of passions, I love writing. Lately I've been doing art, which I've been enjoying. I mean, it's not a career, but it's fun.
You just need
Do stuff you like. You know, the thing is, you don't have to do your passion for a job. You can do a job that's a job that you make money from. And then you do your passion for enjoyment. It doesn't have to be for money. And if you do get really, really good at that, then maybe someday you can demand money for it. But in the meantime, you do your job to have food and a place and whatever. And then you just do your passion for enjoyment. Don't worry about the money part of it.
I think I should do the passion and demand money for it.
No, it's not a demand thing. You have to get to the point that you're so good that people want to pay. You can't demand people pay for something they don't
want. Oh, that's the best explosion I've seen. I'm going to pay him lots of money to do stuff, yeah. To explode stuff.
I'm just saying, passion doesn't have to be something you make money doing, Ryan. You can just do it because you love it.
Right.
It does mean you may have to also do a job that you don't love. Like most people do.
Like this podcast?
Our zero revenue. Oh, no, it's not zero revenue. Let me check
what's our ad revenue yet?
I don't think I put ads in the latest episode, so
that's okay. That's good.
That means it probably hasn't gone up since then, right?
We want to go to completely guilt-free donations.
Donations.
Yeah, we all take donations.
We should start accepting donations. Yeah, like we're a charity. We are up to $1.69, baby.
Wow.
We have almost hit 1,000 listens.
That's really too bad.
That's not really good.
It's really too bad.
That's not very high. Oh, man.
That's okay.
Part of it, I think, is because we're not been as, you know, like regular with our, when we've been recording, because we had for a while there, we had a good pattern of listeners, and it kind of drops off when you're not doing it regularly.
Right. So we should change the podcast name. Like I'm always coming up with a new podcast name and change it to Fiber. And then we'll record more regularly.
Yeah. Keep regular. Keep taking your fiber. I'm sure we can come up with some dumb puns for that or something.
No.
Yeah. No?
No.
All right, well, I'm out of stuff for today. What about you?
I think this podcast is putting me to sleep. It has accomplished the mission to put us to sleep.
You said we were going to do a 6-hour podcast sometime to beat Joe Rogan?
Yeah. Yeah, we're going to do that.
Could you imagine? That would be six times the length of this current podcast.
No, maybe we need to bring burgers and fries next time, and then we could just power through.
Hunker down.
Or we could do the Red Bull episode, and you and I have three Red Bulls each.
Nah, I can't handle that stuff.
We'll get some sort of stimulant for you.
I'll get like palpitations or something.
You have some special brownies. I'll have the Red Bull, and we'll see what happens to our conversation.
That sounds more reasonable. Oh, man.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know if we actually really discussed anything of substance in that entire episode.
We discussed my life, dude. This is substantial stuff. That's one lone hair on my shoulder. That was a big deal to me. Like, I haven't told anyone about that. And I was telling you about that. I'd prefer if you didn't pass
that
it around.
That bothers you, the one hair on your shoulder?
That one hair on my shoulder. Right? I talked
just
to you
shave
about
it off. Use like a razor and just shave it.
And it comes back. It's just like 2 days. It's an inch and a half long again. And I talked to you about my you know, repeating stories. Like,
yeah, I know.
That's,
I don't know
that's
what's
an issue.
Going on with that, man.
Right?
It's concerning. And your musical passions.
Well, I have more passions in music. Creating music, destroying in an explosive way what other people have built, right? Mm-hmm. Like
that would be a fun job.
It'd be Ryan's creation, deconstruction industries. So I make music and blow stuff up.
Oh, I see. I get it.
But I got to come up with a better term, kind of like the Vandalay importer-exporter off of Seinfeld. Mm-hmm, got to come up with a slick name like that.
I see.
Right?
So.
We discussed this podcast was about my life. This was deep.
Construct, deconstruct. That's not very slick.
No.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's wrap it up then.
All right.
Well, thanks for listening to this news crew. I'm not sure if we accomplished much today, but hopefully you fell asleep.
Yeah, I'm asleep. I'm sleep talking right now.
You're talking your sleep.
Yeah. Yeah. But thanks for listening if you actually did. And hopefully we'll get some exciting substance for our next one.
Right on. Peace out, homies.
Ciao.